McDavid on the move. Here's Drysdale back. Bouchard moving in. Bifrit scores! Went off a Canuck stick! And the Oilers have evened the series.
I think you're going to want to hear this.
Hit the music!
And they will do that tomorrow evening. Welcome to Soups Oilers Ultimate Post Game Show. Not as late as usual. Playoff edition. They're pretty late. Pretty late post game shows. I'm your host, Tyler Campbell. How's it going? Boy, was gut check time last night for the Oilers. I won't lie. I thought after 40 minutes, this team don't get it, man. One team's out there working their ass off. They want it bad. And the other team is the Edmonton Oilers. And then in the third period, they finally decided to work. It's funny, I just got done reading Bruce Kerlock's latest piece on the game. The narrative coming out of that game was, well, the Oilers only won because they just played the shit out of their top guys. You can't keep doing that. That's not a recipe for success. Hold the fuck on. Lies. Complete fucking lies.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
I don't fucking do that shit. I tell the truth.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Everyone wants to talk about the Oilers and how they won just because of five guys, yet Colorado does it, and it's fine, right, national media?
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Because that's the narrative. That's the narrative. Colorado does it. Not a word. What a great team. Don't get me wrong. I am one of the people trying to lead that charge of, do we fucking notice how phenomenal that team is? No, we don't, because we're dumb. We're fucking useless at our jobs, that being the media. But the Oilers do it. Oh, in fact, this can't work, guys. It really isn't a win because you can't do that. No, they can do that. First of all, the Oilers' top guys virtually played the same amount of hockey in the game last night that the Colorado Avalanche top guys played in game one against Dallas that also went to overtime. Now, you want to nitpick? Yes, the Stars and Avs went, I think, 9 minutes into OT, where the Oilers and Canucks only went like four. So about 5 minutes of extra game time, maybe more, I can't remember, but it was around there, 5 minutes or so extra. That's it. The Oilers had a little, so there was a little bit more ice time allotted. I haven't seen the even strength numbers. That's probably because the Oilers' top guys play a full 2 minutes on the power play, where Colorado doesn't quite do that with their top guys. That's probably where the difference comes in. But maybe the best thing to counter that, as I said, just got done reading Bruce Kerlock's latest piece, his post-game his post-game write-up. Guess what? The Oilers didn't start just riding one line. That's not at all what happened. For 40 minutes, when they trailed, that is what they did. And then when they got away from it and started rolling the lines more, that's when they were successful. Oh, fuck me. I love Kevin Bieksa. And that's probably why this narrative got out there, is because this is what Bieksa said after the game. I don't have the clip, but it sounded like I was setting up a clip there. I don't have the clip. But that's what Bieksa did after the game, is he said that, wow, you know, the Oilers were, you know, you can't do this throughout the play. You can't just ride one line like that. Like, well, you can. You know, sorry. And I'm not trying to shit on Kevin Bieksa here at all. I love the guy. And I, full disclosure, I think it's actually got to be tough for Kevin, and to a lesser extent for Gazdik, to not be a homer in this series. Because we know who both guys are pulling for. We know that. And they're both trying to be professional. Gazdik got caught with his pants down a little bit. I think it was intermission of game one, and Bieksa called him out, just a playful chirp. But it is. It's got to be tough to keep your analyst hat on. You know, like, I get on Kelly Rudy all the time because he doesn't try to do it. You can see that Bieksa's trying to do it. He's trying not to be a homer. So, props to him. But, you know, coming out of the game, it's, well, you know, the Oilers, sorry? Like, that's, they won in five against LA. They're fresh. Sorry that they took care of business in five and the Canucks didn't take care of business in five. Like, sorry that they spent, you know, that they've got a deeper team and can do that. Sorry. Like, the Canucks can do it too. You know, in fact, they did. I think, was it in overtime or late in the third? They put the lotto line back together and they didn't do shit. Why? Because that's exactly what Chris Knobloch is hoping to get out of this. Is that McDavid and Draisaitl are going to start dominating, and Rick Tocchet's going to have no choice but to load up a line himself to go against them. And let's be honest here. Again, I'm going to point this out. On paper, the Canucks don't have the edge anywhere, except for in goal, because Stuart Skinner, despite my low bar, has somehow gotten worse. She loves, by the way. Like, first game, yeah, he was dog shit. And I do think as this series goes on, the Oilers will find ways to pick him apart. But he is, the Canucks got an excellent goaltender. They're going to have a tough choice to make. I think it's next year is Demko's last. They're going to have a very difficult choice of, what do you do? Why sink money into Thatcher Demko when we've got a guy ready to roll? Like, Shelovs is that good, where they should probably be considering letting Demko walk, or, dare I say, trade Demko this offseason, because, you know, it isn't the first time with injuries with him. He was phenomenal. He was the only reason the Canucks were in that game. It was a bounce back for the Oilers. Don't get this twisted. I'm going to defend them a lot on this podcast. I'm still very disgusted with that game one effort, and I have no fucking faith whatsoever that that team is winning the cup this year. Absolutely none. Like, I will gladly, as an Oilers fan, point out, like, no, they're capable of winning this series. They're not capable of beating either Dallas or Colorado. Like, they have proven that. They have proven that. Stuart Skinner's proven that he's not capable of even just not allowing the Oilers to lose a game. And, like, fuck. It's now three games, three out of, how many have they played? Three out of seven playoff games that Stuart Skinner has been bad. Three out of seven, it's not barely, and we're not talking, it's not like he was like slamming the door playing out of his skull in the other games. You know, game one against LA, sure, he got some bad breaks, but he still let in four. You know, game three against LA, he was good. Game four against LA, he was good. Game five against LA, he was meh. So he's had two good games, three terrible games, and two games that it's kind of tough to say. Yeah, he didn't lose them the games, is what you'd say. So the goaltending is fucked. So they're not winning a cup right there. Because they're not a good enough roster to overcome that. The blue line is shit. Nurse and CC. Oh my God. Pointed this out on Twitter because someone else did, and I thought the same thing in the moment. That third goal, yes, without nobody is defending Stuart Skinner on that goal, nor should they. Horrific. Fucking horrific. Keep your fucking focus. But I think it's Evander Kane is who Zadorov initially gets by to enter the zone, and then CC has him under control, and it's Nikita Zadorov. So all CC has to do is close and make it a puck battle along the boards. Nope. CC does the same fucking thing that Darnell Nurse did that caused the Connor Garland game winner in game one, another bad Stuart Skinner goal, in that he just doesn't simply finish the guy off. Why are you allowing the shot? Why is there a shot attempt? Yes, it's a terrible attempt, but I'm sure that's part of what throws Stuart Skinner off is why the fuck is a shot getting off there? Nurse. The first game. And we see this a lot out of Oilers defenders. I know I used to see it, not as much in the playoffs, but during the regular season, Draisaitl would do this a lot where he'd get back to a guy, but then he would just try to stick him off the puck. Kind of a lazy play. Don't get me wrong. It's not a lazy play in like the whole play isn't lazy, but they need to keep skating, and they don't. They just get to... They go to the player, they don't go through the player. You go through the player. You learn that in fucking Pee Wee. Go through the player. Don't just get to where you're even and then throw a stick at him. No. I will say for Nurse, you could tell he was playing very guilty last night. Very guilty. For Cody Ceci, I could rant and rave about him all day, and that it was terrible. It's not a coincidence that these guys are always out there for these moments. It's like, fucking give it up. But for Cody Ceci, there is a top four defenseman in that player. A, he desperately needs to be kicked in the ass. But B, and I said this early in the season when Paul Coffey first came in and Cody Ceci had a good start with Paul Coffey. He needs to be active. He needs to be jumping in the play. He needs to constantly keep his feet moving. He is a flat-footed player. He does not play quick. To overcome that, he needs to be active. And what they need is Darnell Nurse to be stationary the way that Cody Ceci plays. If you could get Darnell to hone in his game and just play patient and keep to yourself. And what do I always say about Darnell Nurse? I've said this on this podcast forever. Just do your fucking job. Be physical. Take away the blue line for zone entries. Be better on puck retrievals. Be harder on players in the defensive zone. Play a very simple game. Very simple. He don't do that. Darnell Nurse gets the puck and he tries to do open heart surgery on the ice. No. Just make a simple play. Just do that. That's it. One of the things that drives me nuts about Stuart Skinner is his puck playing ability, and not just puck plane, like coming out of his net. I'm talking about a puck comes to him and he won't cover it. No. What the fuck are you doing? Don't keep the play alive. Make the game boring. Don't worry about the fucking game flow. Cover the puck. Just play it safe. Play it boring. Play it safe. Don't try to do more. Because what will Skinner do? Skinner will not only keep the play alive sometimes, he'll put it in a terrible spot for his defenseman. Quit doing that. Darnell Nurse, if you've got to be off the glass and out all the time, fine. I'm cool with that. As long as you're not fucking up all the time. And for CeCe, keep your fucking feet moving. Jump in the play. Be active. It will help you. I played a lot more physical than Cody CeCe, but I played a lot like Cody CeCe. It was one of my biggest problems as a defenseman. I could never get it through my fucking... And don't get me wrong. I never played good hockey. I was fine. That's it. People who play rec against me now would say, yeah, right. You weren't anything close to that. I bet you could barely stand up. Yeah, I kind of went 15 years without playing. But... And plus, I'm playing forward now, which I fucking hate. But I was a lot like CeCe, where when I'd keep my feet moving, I would be really good. But I could never get that through my head because I was always coached, play stationary. Don't pinch. Don't make mistakes. Don't just play a safe game. You know, because the guys who I was coached by grew up in the 70s when Bobby Orr was this, like, phenomenon that only Bobby Orr can play that way. So even though these guys who were coaching me growing up had lived through Paul Coffey and Raymond Bourque and some of those other guys, it was still, nope, defensemen defend. Defensemen defend. You play on your heels all night. No. That can work for some players, but I found, for me especially, and I can see so much of it with Cody CeCe, keep your feet moving. Now, sometimes, like with the Pugh Suter breakaway in game one, sometimes CeCe will keep his feet moving, and then he gets lazy. Again, I go back to, it sure seems like Cody CeCe has a conditioning problem. With how slow and... I guess you could call it methodical, but, you know, it just always feels like he doesn't give more because he's trying to conserve energy. Motherfucker, you didn't even get 15 minutes of ice last night. You got nothing to conserve. So either you're out of fucking shape or you're just an idiot. Which one is it? There is so, as much as hard as I am on the organization for not trading or not upgrading on CeCe and all the bullshit that goes with it, I will say that it drives me nuts that there is a decent defenseman there and we don't fucking get to see it. And that's where I'm going next with this entire roster outside of the Big Five. Now, granted, I missed a lot of the third period in overtime. So I'm reading a lot of stuff on how good they played in the late half of that game. Dylan Holloway specifically, which Dylan Holloway didn't even get 10 minutes of ice. What the fuck, man? What the fuck? When is this organization... I'm saying the organization because how many coaches have been here now over the last 5 years? Five? Tip, Woodcroft, Knobloch, I guess three. I mean, if you want to go a little bit further back and say the last 6 years, then it's Hitch and McClellan, and it is five. When are they going to go to the depth on this team and say, hey, you fucks, quit sitting around waiting to get the power play and waiting for 29 and 97 to bail you out. get the fuck after it. And granted, I go back to Kerlock's piece. He said they played them even. They played well. They got on Vancouver's defense. And man, that is where you can beat Vancouver. You can bludgeon Vancouver. I talk about the Oilers' defense not being good enough. The Canucks' defense is worse. I believe that. That the Canucks' blue line is worse than the Oilers. They have the best defensemen in the series. But the blue line as a whole is worse. They've got trees. That's awesome. It's worse. You know, all the analysts are gushing about Nikita Zadorov's hot streak scoring right now. He ain't that good. Pay attention to his whole game. He ain't that good. Nikita Zadorov, yes, he's got two really bad goals in the last four games and then one that was a seeing eye shot. Okay, like, let's calm down. And I like Nikita Zadorov. I've said this before. I think he's the most valuable number five defenseman in the league. But that's all he is a number five defenseman. Oh, my God, Nikita Zadorov is playing great. Yeah, because you heard his name announced for a goal. That's why you're saying that? Watch the games. Watch the fucking games. So what do the Oilers do with their depth? Because, again, like, you can't sit around and wait on, you know, you have to press. So what I would do is I would get Connor Brown back in that lineup. That's one of the first things I would do. Why? Because you need a hard forecheck from that bottom nine. That's what Connor Brown can give you. Good forechecking. Speed that's going to hurt that. I have clamored for this line since the start of the year. Holloway, McLeod, Brown. Now, if you want to say Fogel, Holloway, Brown, I'm here for it because Ryan McLeod is not playing well. Mind you, Warren Fogel's not playing well. Mind you, Adam Henrique's not playing well. Mind you, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins isn't playing well. Mind you, Evander Kane, what the fuck, man? What's happened? First round, you were a beast. So, I don't know if you stick with these lines. This, loading up the top line, you all know I hate it. But, given how game one went and how Vancouver wanted to defend McDavid, it does seem like, okay, you need another superstar on that line because then you can't take away McDavid like they were. They're forced to give him space because there's another guy out there that if you focus too much on Connor, he'll eat you alive. And he's a power forward who, when he's right, is probably the best power forward in the league. Toss up between him and Matt Tkachuk. I would get Zach Hyman off that line. Any kind of issue with Zach Hyman, but I feel like when you've got 97 and 29 together, you could stick Warren Fogel with them and get the same results. That allows Zach Hyman to play with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, which he does pretty well. Maybe Evander Kane on that line. Whoa, all of a sudden there you've got, I don't know if I would go Kane, though. Here's another thought. What if you went Nugent-Hopkins with Hyman and Ryan McLeod, who looks bad playing the middle right now? So you get Nuge with Hyman and McLeod, where he's much more comfortable on the wing, and then Henrique centers a third line with Kane, and I think with Holloway. Trying to think. No, you would. I would put Brown on the right side of Henrique and Kane on the left. I think. and then Holloway on the fourth line with Derek Ryan and Corey Perry. I think that's what I'd do. But, I mean, you know, they're not going to go away from these lines to start game three. We know that. It worked. If anything, we're going to see Chris Knobloch roll them same way. Troy Stetcher has to come in for Cody Ceci. Troy Stetcher won't come in for Cody Ceci. This is just, at this point, it's just obvious that this, and I've said this a million times, and I won't quit saying it, the organization would rather lose with Cody Ceci in the lineup than win looking dumb. There's too much ego there. The coaching staff, again, coaching staff has always known this. Troy Stetcher's a better defenseman than Cody Ceci. When Cody Ceci's out of the lineup, they put Troy Stetcher right with Darnell Nurse instantly. Remember, I think it was Desharnais? Came out the one night, and they still put Stetcher with Darnell Nurse. They know. They know Stetcher's the better fit for Nurse. And guys would say, wow, Stetcher's so much smaller. What the fuck does Cody Ceci's size do when he's not using it? Troy Stetcher plays with fucking passion. He fucking works his balls off. He's a menace to play against. Guys do not like playing against Troy Stetcher. And he'll be even more so, especially when he's fresh. And he can move the puck. So then when Darnell Nurse gets into trouble the next time, he's not trying to be the puck mover. He can look for his outlet guy to be the puck mover. Darnell Nurse was surprisingly good with Tyson Barrie when Barrie was still here. Barrie's not even that good of a puck mover. But Barrie was a better puck mover than Ceci. It seems obvious. Stetcher and Brown in gives the team more speed. They're not going to be all of a sudden a small team. Who's coming out? Ceci and Janmark. Oh, darn. You're faster, more physical. Like, darn, you move the puck better. You probably roll in this series. Darn, that would suck, wouldn't it? Like, just fucking try it. That's all you got to do. Just try it. Oh, well, Connor Brown took a penalty in game one. Oh, okay. Like, for trying too hard? We hate that now, do we? It's like the guy's fucking ripping Leon Draisaitl during the season. Oh, I hate how much he pouts. What, you hate how much he wants to win? That's what you're hating? Oh, yeah, Connor Brown, he took a penalty. Yeah, because he was fucking trying. Like, what the fuck are we talking about here? Do you actually, is Connor Brown ever the guy who, does he have this long history of taking bad penalties? Give me a fucking break. I couldn't believe when I heard that, and I think that was on Got Your Back. And I like Struds. Got a close tie to Jason Strudwick. I love it, but I'm pretty sure it was Struds and Rob Brown who were the ones saying that. That Connor Brown didn't play good in game one, and the main reason why they were saying that it was because he took a penalty. Like, okay, if that's like, if the guy takes penalties like Evander Kane does, I get that. He does, that's not him. That's a guy who happened to take a penalty, not a guy who's going to constantly take penalties. Know the difference. You forecheck the fuck out of this blue line. What, like, one pairing can move it, just like the Oilers. Only one pairing can move it. Now, if you inject Troy Stetcher into the lineup, then what do the Canucks do? Think about that. Because Kulak can move it okay. Stetcher moves it well. Stetcher and Nurse together, that's a pairing that moves the puck pretty well. I won't say they're a great puck-moving tandem. But Stetcher can face pressure and move the puck well. So then all of a sudden, okay, well, that's going to nullify a Canucks forecheck. Because then once they're trying it and not being successful because the puck's getting out and the Oilers got numbers going back the other way, they're going to have to change that. Well, what's the path to victory then? You're the LA Kings. We're not forechecking this team, and they're going to, and we're going to sit back and they are going to pick us the fuck apart. Put Troy Stetcher in the fucking lineup. Like, yeah, Kulak and Desharnais don't move the puck that well. Kulak, I'm kind of surprised he's not a better puck mover, honestly. But he's okay. And they're adequate. They're adequate at doing it. Plus, on home ice especially, they're not going to see any tough matchups. Actually, they are, because Troy Stetcher's not going to go in the lineup. So then Knobloch and Coffey have to shelter Nurse and CeCe again. By the way, the other thing that I think we've now figured out with this hockey club, they've got one of the best top pairings in the league. Play the shit out of them. Play the shit out of them. How they ran it last night was how they have to run it, which is a bit about 15 minutes for the bottom four and then close to 30 minutes for the top pair. You're not going to go 30 minutes because they didn't even reach 30 minutes even going to overtime. But 25 to 28, you're going to have to do that. And it's the for the defenseman, it's the right move. Think about how many teams have won the cup playing defensemen that much. Like, that's not uncommon in the playoffs. Defensemen, like Nurse is a perfect example. It's funny, I heard Bob say this the other day, and it's like, yeah, I figured this out 3 years ago. Darnell Nurse's best season was the 21 season. You know why that was Darnell Nurse's best season? Was because the Oilers had major injuries on the blue line, well, Oscar Klefbom, and it forced Darnell Nurse, or it forced them to play Darnell Nurse 30 minutes a night. So what did Darnell Nurse do playing 30 minutes a night in the regular season? He kept it simple. And he played the best hockey of his career. And it's the biggest curse ever for the Edmonton Oilers franchise because it cost them about $3 million. Per season. So what do you expect tomorrow night, game three? I guess that's the next question. It's funny. That was the exact way the Oilers needed to win that game. That was gut check time. You could see all game. It's funny. I shocked that Elliot Friedman brought this up because usually guys don't bring it up. I felt the exact same way. The Canucks, through that game, felt super confident. And it was exactly why I ranted and raved after game one. It's because the Oilers gave them belief. So the Canucks, you know, they're the underdog and they weren't as good, you know, they weren't as good as their regular season suggests. But now they're believing that they're going to, and they're not only believing that they're as good as what their regular season suggests, but they're getting, well, they weren't getting breaks, but, you know, they just had this confidence that doesn't matter what we do, the Oilers will beat themselves. And that's the book on the Oilers throughout the league. They'll beat themselves. They're Toronto West. As I said to one of my friends this morning, the difference between the Oilers and the Leafs is the LA Kings. Oilers fans won't like hearing that, but it's the fucking truth at this point. You have a chance to change that narrative, but you better get the fuck after it. They needed to win that game in that way. If they would have rolled and won 5-1, there's a good chance that they're going to have that conceited mentality going back to Edmonton, just like they did against Vegas last year, and they'll lay another egg. winning the way they won keeps them focused, is what I believe is going to happen. It's going to keep their focus. Like, holy shit, guys, we barely got out of there with a split. We better wake the fuck up and play this team hard. Now, you keep playing the way you did in the third period in overtime last night. Yeah, they'll roll Vancouver in five, but you have to keep the gas pedal down. And as I said again, you have to forecheck the hell out of this team. Connor Brown in the lineup. Troy Stetcher in the lineup. What do those two guys do? They make you faster. They take away some of Vancouver's edges and give you more. Fuck, you could even put Connor Brown on the top line. Like, it really wouldn't matter who plays that right side with Draisaitl and McDavid. Again, Hyman really wasn't much of a factor on that line. It limits what Zach Hyman can do. So get him on the second line. And just get a guy to be a good passenger and do the dirty work for McDavid and Draisaitl on the first line. Again, Warren Fogle, to me, makes all the sense in the world in that spot. But what do I know? I'm just much smarter than the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. Other than that, I don't know anything. All right. You've heard enough, ladies and gentlemen. Should be a good one tomorrow. I'm going to go enjoy Dallas and Colorado tonight. You know what fucking pissed me off last night, other than the Oilers game? Well, until it was won. Oh, by the way, before I get off the topic of the series, that fucking video those two guys did, those two Canucks fans did. Yes. Oh, those are good fans. Those are good fans. I try so hard to stay out of that shit on Twitter and on social media in general. Like, there is so much vitriol between fans. And it's just like you sit there and you go, okay, this is going way too far. Canucks fans who, the one thing I will say for Canucks fans is, like, when are you going to figure out to, like, tone it down? This morning I watched... Apparently, CBC in Vancouver 3 years ago did a 10-year anniversary report on the Vancouver riots. Like, second time it happened. Guys, have some self-awareness of your fan base. You're coming off as complete fucking nut jobs. Like, you're whacked. That's your reputation. You're whacked. And I'm not saying that as an Oilers fan. I'm saying it as a hockey fan. Like, around the league, only one organization has two riots on their hand, or on their record, I should say. I don't even know who has one. I know Montreal had one in 93 when they won, which is usually when that shit happens. So the riots usually start out of, it's just a celebration that goes too far. Nobody does it when they lose. You know, Edmonton White Ave 06, when they went to the final, it got out of hand. A celebration got out of hand. Vancouver, it's just rage. It's just rage. And there's such an inferiority complex with that organization and that, or not, maybe not, I shouldn't say that organization, but definitely with that fan base. It's like, guys, just chill. Those guys who did the video with the U2 song and naming all the Oilers players that suck. And, like, that's fucking awesome. And that goes for both fan bases. Because, again, fans are fucking losers, man. Fans are fucking, like, there's levels of fans. But the guys who are the hardcore fans, they're fucking losers. They're absolute fucking losers. Okay, good people on both sides are just hoping for the best for their city. That's it, because guess what? When they're all wearing the Maple Leaf next year, we're all cheering for the same team. Okay? Remember that. Like, don't get me wrong. Yes, you want to beat your rivals the most. This is what I always say about Calgary and Edmonton. You want to beat your rivals the most. But, like, be a good person about it. Just be a good person. That's it. That's it. What I was going to say, though, is I am pissed I didn't get to watch Denver, Minnesota in the NBA. Pissed. Anthony Edwards. And now Sunday, hopefully I get to watch it. We'll see. Colorado, Dallas tonight, though. Winner goes to the final. Hate saying that, but it's true. Winner goes to the final. Not of this game, but of this series. Although I think Colorado's still dusting them in 5 or 6. Oh, but they only play one line. You can't do that. You can't just play your players. You gotta play all your shitty guys. You can't play McKinnon 25 minutes a night. He'll score. Right. That's kind of the idea. You can't play Bouchard, Ekholm, McDavid, Dreisaitl. Yeah. Yeah, you can. You can. When they gas out, sure. But let me know when that happens. Because they did this 2 years ago and they never gassed out. So, remember, you don't ever play back-to-backs in the play. As much as draining as the playoffs are, you never play back-to-backs. Just remember that. The Oilers went 5 and had easier travel playing LA, especially because they only went 5 and they had home ice. But Nashville, Vancouver to Nashville, much tougher travel, much more of a grind of a series. Like, anyway. I think I had more to say, but I'm lost, and we've done 42 minutes, and let's just call her there, eh? Eh? We'll see if I actually do a post game after the game tomorrow. I doubt it. It's still, you know, it's a half hour earlier, but it's still, Soupy needs to sleep. He'll be sleepy Soupy. See you next time.
You're fucking done, bud!